Thank you so much. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Colossians, going through the book of Colossians now in the third chapter, in the fifth verse of the third chapter. That's where we will begin. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. Put them out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And God blesses the reading for his word, of his word. Join with me for a moment as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts, that you would move us closer to Jesus in this hour. Father, make this a time to right our ship. Father, to move believers, to walk like believers. And Father, to move the gospel to reach those that do not know you. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to worship. In Jesus' name, amen. As you read through the Bible, there's sometimes that you just know were just super exciting moments. And there was a super exciting moment that took place. It took place in an unusual place. It took place in a graveyard. You see, Jesus had been alerted that one of his dear friends, Lazarus, was sick unto death, and God allowed him to know that Lazarus indeed had died. And so Jesus made his way with the disciples to where Lazarus' body was laid, into that graveyard, into a place of weeping and loss, into a place of sadness. Jesus came, but he did not come without power. As he walked into that graveyard, he spoke up loudly and said, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, it is said that Jesus called Lazarus by name, because had he not called him by name, the whole graveyard would have emptied out. But when he said, "Lazarus, come forth," there came Lazarus out of the tomb. He had been there 4 days. He had been stone cold dead, if you will, for 4 days. And Lazarus came out of the tomb. He had been wrapped up, bound up in grave clothes so much that Jesus had to say, "Loose him and let him go." He wouldn't be able to walk otherwise. All he could do is hop around. And so they removed the grave clothes from him. Wow. What a moment. If we had been there, we would have been astonished beyond belief. But the truth is, knowing the truth of God's word, we should be astonished anyway. Imagine it. What if you could go back just shortly after that time and interview Lazarus? Wouldn't that have been great? I can imagine you go through and you would go to where you would think Lazarus was. You would go to his sister's home where he lived with Mary and Martha. And you'd go, you'd knock on the door. You'd say, "Hey, can Lazarus come out and play?" And suppose Mary or Martha, whichever one came to the door, said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lazarus is not here." "Oh, well, you know, I'm wanting to interview him about this amazing thing. He was dead and now he's alive. Where can I find him?" "Oh, well, Lazarus is staying in the graveyard in his tomb." Oh, I didn't know. Did he die again? Oh, no. He was just there 4 days and decided he liked it. It's cool. It's dark. And so he's been living down there in the graveyard in the tomb. Oh. Okay, well, I'll go there to interview him. And so you make your way through the graveyard and you come to the tomb where Lazarus' body had been. You call out. You don't want to interrupt anything. Lazarus, are you in there? And you hear back, yes, I'm here. Excuse me, this is Lazarus that Jesus rose from the dead, right? Yeah, that's me. You go into the tomb and it's so dark it takes a while for your eyes to acclimate. And when they do, you see Lazarus sitting on the on just the where his body would have laid. And he seems to be wrapped up in burial clothes. Hey, Lazarus. Didn't Jesus say, loose you and let you go? Oh, yeah, he said that. But, you know, I wore these things for 4 days, and they still smelled okay to me, and I thought I could just keep wearing them, and it'd be okay. So here is Lazarus. He's been set free from death, set free from the grave, set free from grave clothes, but he's living in the grave like a dead person, wrapped up in grave clothes like a dead person, and living as if he had never had life to begin with. Now, that's kind of a crazy story, isn't it? But I want you to understand, that is no more crazy than for some of us who have come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, have been born again, have been forgiven of our sins, have been given power to live like Jesus, living the same way we did as a lost person. Carrying ourselves out in the sin of this old world. God has given us new life in Christ, and yet the truth is more people than not, more people that have professed Christ than not are living their lives in the graveyard of this old world sins. When you come to Jesus, it's time for a change. You got to choose. You got to choose whether you're going to continue to live in an old dead lifestyle or you're going to come out and you're going to live the changed life, the abundant life that God has chosen for you. Are you going to start walking like Jesus or are you just going to just still keep dying with the dead? Listen, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He wants us to have a life that's different, a life that has changed. In verse 9, he says, you have put off the old man with his deeds and you have put on the new man. It is very clear, the scripture tells us, that if you know Jesus as your Savior, you need to start dressing for success. If you're going to dress for success, you got to put off the old. If you are going to dress like a believer, if you're going to walk like a believer, you've got to put off the old. Now the scripture says put off the old man. Well, who is this old man? Some old man that's crotchety old man that's hanging around your house? And if you happen to be a crotchety old man hanging around the house, I'm not really talking about you, but is that who it's talking about putting off? Well, no. The Bible is talking about putting off your old self, putting off your selfishness, putting off your old idol, which was you, putting off those things that are without God. You know, the person you would be without Jesus Christ, the person you would be without trying to follow Jesus Christ, put that person off. Everything you are without Jesus needs to go away. If you got Jesus as your Savior, there should be a change that takes place. Everything you are without Christ goes, and then you put on the new man. Is everything Jesus went through on the cross to give you life, part of your life? Has he actually given you the power of a changed life and that shows in how you're living? You see, Jesus wants you to know that you were lost and you needed a Savior. And so at some point, if you're a Christian, he came to you and he got through to you that you are lost and you need a Savior. You know what that was? That was God arranging for the change. Jesus had died on the cross to arrange for the change. He lets us know that we're lost to arrange for the change. And when you receive Jesus as your Savior, everything is in place for you to start changing. Are you living the changed life? Are you putting forth the example that God wants you to put forth? Take off the old way of life. Take off your sinful self. Verse 5, he says, put it to death. Mortify is the word. Mortify your members which are on the earth. Remember back in verse 3, we're told that those that receive Jesus are dead in Christ. When Jesus died, I died. When Jesus took the sins away on the cross, it was my sins he took away. When Jesus was buried, I was buried. He took my sins to the grave and pushed them away. And when Jesus rose, my sins weren't with him, and I rose with him, and I'm supposed to start living without those sins. I'm not supposed to turn back to them. In verse 5, since you are dead, tell your sinful practices. You know, Christians, since we've been crucified with Christ, since we've been born again, since we've been raised from the dead in Jesus, tell yourself to start living like it. Now back when I was a wee lad of a boy, as my friend Bobby Wood used to say, when I was a wee lad of a boy, we used to play. Now we got to play, unfortunately, not like the people of today get to play. You know, today, if children want to play, there has to be a play date arranged. There has to be a certain time, certain place, certain thing, and all of those kinds of things. Not so when I grew up. When I grew up, we were kicked out of the house and not expected to come back in until we were called. And so when I grew up, all the neighborhood kids would just kind of gather and we would play. Now today, oh my, today the toys they have toys that'll shoot things, toys that'll blow up things. They have toys that look like real, toys that look so much like real guns that they have to paint the tips of them so that people will know that they're not real guns. I have been told that some felons are now painting the tips of their real guns so they'll look like toy guns. But you know, when I grew up, that wasn't a problem. I didn't have to wait for my parents to go out and buy me a toy gun. I went out into my backyard and picked one up. Now, to the untrained eye, my gun would look like a stick. Oh, but not in my skilled hands. It became my gun. And I didn't have to worry about ammo. I had an endless supply of ammo. As long as I could say bang, I was in business. And so we would play, and it was like I would play with the neighborhood boys, and you know, we would play together, and I can remember, you know, playing and going bang, and you know, and you just didn't say bang. You said bang, bang. It was a repeater. And you just didn't say bang, bang. You said bang, bang, and what did you say after that? You're dead. You see, we didn't want to leave any possibilities of anything else, but I remember saying, bang, bang, you're dead. And my friend grabbed his chest and said, oh! And he spun around and he flipped around and he said, oh! And he jumped on the ground and he rolled around and he said, oh! And I looked at him and I said, did I get you? Yeah! You got me. Are you dead? Yeah, I'm dead. Well, for Pete's sake, act like it. If we have been taken to the cross, taken to the tomb, raised in new life, start acting. acting like you're dead to the old world and old way of life. Believer, we have been saved for all eternity. Our old life is not a part of that. Our sinful self is not to be part of that. Now, Paul wants to make it very clear, and so he gives a list. Thank you very much, Paul. And so this list is not very attractive. A list of things that may be in your life that don't need to be in the life of a believer. Verse 5, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires. These words have to do with sex. Now, let me be clear. God is not against sex. God invented it. Sex within God's boundaries of marriage is a beautiful thing and is to be a blessing to a family. But when sex is used outside of God's boundaries, it becomes harmful to all. So these words move about an immoral lifestyle, about an immoral spirit that people get into their lives. He uses the word fornication. Fornication, quite simply, is sex outside of marriage. Now, pulling no punches, sex outside of marriage is wrong every time. There is no time when it is not wrong. Uncleanliness. This is immoral thoughts. Listen, immoral thoughts will lead to immoral deeds. You got to watch what you put in your head. If you start putting trash in your head, you're going to start seeing trash in your life. And so you have to be cautious. That is the danger of our day when trash is all around us and immorality is all around us. And it's not only it's not only something that people go to a dark alley to find anymore. No, it's piped into your own house. You have to be cautious. You have to be very careful. When I grew up, there was television. It was black and white. And we had three stations, if you could turn the antenna just right. When I grew up, a man and a woman was not allowed on the same bed on a television show. We're talking about married people. There were practices and standards. No bad language. No hint of immorality. Because the standards of the people affected the standards of what was on television. Folks, today the standards have gone out the door because the people have gone out the door spiritually. And so you're liable to see things on a regular television station that should not be seen anywhere or even thought of. And yet it's a poison put into people's minds. Be cautious. Be cautious of what you see. Be cautious of what you put into your mind. Uncleanliness. He uses the word passion. That's immoral desires. If you play around with immorality, it will take you over. You might hear somebody say something like this, "Oh, I just couldn't help myself." Well, you could have if you'd have stopped soon enough. But when you give yourself over to immorality in the mind, you will give yourself over to immorality indeed, and you find yourselves in wickedness that you never dreamed you'd get involved in. He goes on, evil desire. Ooh. This is getting worse. Evil desire, when you start feeding ungodliness into your head and into your life, it'll create evil desires and you'll start thinking about stuff that you know is wrong and you know is ungodly and you know should never be done by anybody, especially you as a Christian. And yet, if you play around with evil desires, you'll find yourself thinking about things that should never be thought of. By the way, this is where homosexuality comes in. You see, homosexuality was never God's plan. You want to know God's basic plan for a man and a woman? It is a man and a woman. Check out biology. Biology tells you the plan. And I know we're in a day where now we've moved from transsexuals into the transgender population. And I want to be clear, everybody should be treated with respect. Everybody should be treated with dignity. We should show everybody the love of Jesus. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they're involved in. That should be our stand. But a transgender goes to another step. They're not only saying God's way is wrong, they're saying God made a mistake in me. My God doesn't make mistakes. And so evil desires create evil lust in your life that pushes you toward things that never should have been. For anyone, especially not a believer, covetousness. Well, that kind of sounds light after everything he's been talking about. Covetousness. A greedy desire, a greedy nature. When we think about covetousness, we think about money. When we think about greed, we think about money. That's not what this is talking about. That's being so caught up with your own desire that you do things God does not intend. It's talking about a sexual, selfish desire. Listen, sex in marriage is to be one person who loves another person, giving themselves to that other person to meet their needs and to bless their lives. That's the picture of sex in marriage. That's what sex is all about. That's what sex is supposed to be. Sex outside of marriage is one person trying to meet their own selfish needs. Guys, and I include myself because I am a guy. Guys are basically dumb in this area. The same pattern that's been used through the years is still used. Ever hear this phrase? If you love me, you let me. Any girl should understand how stupid that is. It is a step outside of what is right. You know, any guy that would say that isn't about loving you at all. It's not about you loving him. It's about you taking care of his physical needs and his greed. And when a young lady or when a lady is moved to say, to come on sexually to a boy, she's not saying, I love you. She's saying, I need to know I can be loved. And girls, that's not the way to find out. So Paul deals with some tricky issues here, and we've dealt with some tricky issues, and you're sitting there staring at me saying in your mind, well, preacher, I would never, ever, that's not me, and I'm sure they said that to Paul. But, you know, God led Paul to write it because some people were involved in it. Be cautious. The devil wants to pull you away from God and lead a Christian down a wrong path. Don't go there. And if you do go there, listen, you get back to God and you ask for his forgiveness and you move away from that in your life. So he gives another list. If he didn't get you the first time, he's going to try something else. Verse 8, put off these, angers, wrath, malice. He moves from ungodly actions to primarily ungodly attitudes. And so there's a series of attitudes. Put off anger, resentment, a boiling up inside. It's a destructive emotion. Don't let anger take over you. Now, the Bible says be angry and sin not. So you can actually get angry and not sin. But let me be quick to say that's not most of our anger. When Jesus cleansed the temple, it was righteous indignation. It was not sin. When you blow up because you don't get your way, that's not righteous indignation. When you allow anger to take over your life and to run your life, that's not righteous indignation. Listen, how often do you get angry? How easy is it for you to be angered? How long do you stay angry? All these things are hints that you're going down a path God doesn't want you down. And then he says wrath. Wrath is an explosion. Some people, they get so involved with their own anger that they just explode. And there is an explosion of anger, an explosion of wrath, an explosion of rage. Will Rogers once said, those that fly into a rage are going to have a crash landing. Be cautious of giving yourself to anger, road rage. You know, people are really funny. Somebody cuts you off. You sit there blowing your horn, yelling at them. They're a half mile down the road. They don't hear anything you're doing. I don't know how that helps anything. Get anger under control. Give that part of your life to the Lord. Let him carry you through. Malice. Malice means meanness. Some people are just mean. I mean, they're just mean. They set out wanting to hurt somebody. That's meanness. If you ever get it into your mind that you're going to set out in order to hurt somebody, you are not walking with God. Blasphemy, that's talking bad about others. Certainly it's talking bad about God, but it's talking bad about others. Listen, we're not supposed to be slanderous. And I have told you many times, a believer walking in fellowship with God will not tear down the testimony of another believer. Don't tear down someone else's life that's supposed to stand for Jesus. Filthy language. Well, back in the day, they used to wash people's mouth out with soap. With today's world, there's not enough soap. Can I tell you, Christian, it doesn't matter that the world has gone down the cesspool of vulgarity in language. You don't have to be there. And the use of a common word that is filthy will pool you in people's minds with everybody else that's away from God. Be cautious of your speech. And so this is another list. It's a shorter list. Did he get you? I mean, he's not really trying. He's just trying to point things out. Maybe this is you. Maybe it's not. But if it's not, he's got another one. It's only one. You ready? Lie not. Uh-oh. If he didn't get you anywhere else, he's gotten you here. I know if we ask everybody who's ever told a lie, you would all raise your hand and say, I have, because if you didn't raise your hand, you would be lying at that moment. You don't have to teach people to lie. People just lie. You don't have to teach a child to lie. They will just lie. You know what teenagers say they are looking for more than anything else? Truth. We are supposed to stand with Jesus. Jesus is truth, and we are supposed to live like Jesus, a life that is truth, and we are supposed to witness for Jesus and show them the way to truth. Take lies out of your life. And so all of these things are supposed to be put off. Put it all away. Now, what do you put on? Well, you got to put on something. Verse 12, therefore, as an elect of God, holy and beloved, put on the tender mercies. Tender mercy. That means you don't treat people the way they deserve. You treat people the way God wants to treat them. You treat people with love. You treat people with forgiveness. You treat people with compassion. You treat them with mercy. You know why I want to treat people with mercy? Because I want God to treat me with mercy. A heart filled with mercy will seek to lift others up. Kindness. Be good to other people. Be good-hearted toward other people. Don't wait to be asked to do a kindness for somebody. We're in a season where it's easy to do kindness. Listen, how kind are you? If somebody gave you $10 for every kind act you did, That would be nice, wouldn't it? $10 for every kind act you did. But you had to pay $5 for every negative act you did. Would you have anything? Would you owe money? Learn to be kind. Humility. It's not all about you. Surrender your life down and let Jesus be the one in charge. Be humble. Meekness. Meekness is not weakness, it's power under control. Live your life under the control of God's power. And then long-suffering, the ability to endure difficult circumstances. You're going to be in difficult circumstances. You will be. I'm sorry. They're going to come. But walk with God, and He can get you through even the most difficult of circumstances. Go through them without bitterness. Then He says, forbearing one another. That means hang in there with people who are hard to put up with. You know, if you look around and you don't see anybody that's hard to put up with, it may just be you. You know, be kind to people that are hard to put up with. Listen, if Jesus had not been forbearing, He wouldn't have put up with any of us. But He certainly wouldn't have had Peter around. Peter was always mouthing off, always had all the answers. You know anybody like that? Has all the answers, always talking. But Jesus was forbearing toward Peter, forbearing toward us. Forgiving one another. Be graceful to one another and forgive one another. I don't know what people have done to you, but I know what we've done to Jesus. And my friend, if Jesus is willing to forgive us, how dare we not forgive others? We're to forgive them all the time. We're to forgive them in our heart before they ever do anything. Say what? Well, think about it. When Jesus was on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. That's us. Father, forgive them. How many of your sins had been committed when He said that? Not one. Oh, but He knew they were coming. And he did the act to make sure that we were forgiven before we were ever born. Nails were placed in His hands, thorns in His brow. He was hung on the cross. And through it all, He said, Father, forgive. How dare you not forgive? Every time. No matter what, because that's how we want to be forgiven. Verse 14, above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Put on love. Where do you find love? You find love in Jesus. This is tough to deal with. It's tough to hear, I am sure. But if we want to show our lives for Jesus, we got to put off the old. We got to put on the new. And then we just have to walk in His love. And you know what? Jesus will love others through you. And He will bless you in return. All we have to do is turn our lives to Him. I encourage you, turn your life to Him. Christian, I'm talking to. Turn your life to Him. It may be you'd come to the altar today and just recommit your life to Him. It may be there's something you hadn't gotten rid of yet and you need to come and confess that to Him. You don't have to say anything to me or anybody else. Talk to Him. Allow Him to forgive. Allow Him to restore and allow Him to love you and to love others through you. And if you've never met Jesus as your Savior, that is the main thing you need to do. You need to just come and say, I want Jesus. Today we will rejoice in your coming. We will praise God for what He's doing in your life. And we will pray for you in the days ahead. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask now that you would move us toward decisions that we need to make. Father, for anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, Father, that today would be the day they would come to you. And Lord, for those of us that know you, but Father, have allowed sin to move into our lives, let this be the day that we put off the old and that we put on the new. that we begin living for Jesus more closely than ever before, and that we might show your love to others. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You come as we sing.